And now, here's the host of the Sports Hub, David Tewksbury.
Here I am. Don't go anywhere. Good to be with you on this Hump Day Wednesday installment of the show. It is a hump day, it is a hub day, and it is a Wolves midweek. Coming up towards the bottom of the hour, some Northern State women's basketball chat with Rio. We call her Rio indeed. That's Rihanna Phillippe. Looking forward to that discussion with her. Coming up here in the next 10 to 15 minutes, new assistant coach for the Northern State wrestling squad, Josh Nolan. He'll be joining us as well. A couple of phone conversations for the guests here today, as of course you've got finals, final exam week. For a second there, my brain was just basically like most college kids, like, what is that thing called? Did you carry the two over there? Decimal point? Anyways, final exam week. Just wish that the curve is ever in your favor, certainly, as a lot of students out there, not just Northern State, but around the surrounding areas, dealing with final exam week and what have you. So that's what we've got on tap for you here today on Fox Sports Aberdeen. I'm David Tewksbury, joined alongside by Matt McClure. Good morning, sir. How are you?
Doing all right. Final exam week, man. Oof. Always a very stressful week for me. Always. Hated it.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. And the question that we always asked, yes, Mr. Tewksbury, third row, yes, Mr. Smith, or yes, Prof, is it cumulative? That was always our question. Is it cumulative? You know, at the end of the semester, we always asked, is it cumulative? Or question number two, and this is a very, very important question, can it be open note?
Yeah.
Can we have an open note final?
That's a big one, the open note final.
How great would that be? I love the open note final. Big fan of that.
Big fan of that as well. There was a couple that you could get like that, but majority of the time it wasn't open note final and you had to study. No one likes to study.
No, absolutely not.
Final, or at least I didn't.
No, I mean, final exam is just nothing but, and I mean nothing but, a whole lot of stress for sure. And it's also a procrastination time.
Oh, yeah.
Because for me, it's like you could study for that final exam or you could clean up the top drawer of your desk that you haven't touched in the last 6 years. Yeah, might as well go ahead and do that now. I mean, you will find anything but an opportunity to study for that final econ exam.
I remember my sophomore year, I was taking a nutrition class and the final was a specific time, but the professor, every single, it was like a once a week kind of class, and she would always say the room and the place where it was at. I still remember 117 science, 117 science, when's the exam? She'd like point out somebody and be like, hey, Mr. McClure, when's the exam? Oh, it's this time at 117 science.
Gotta love that, man. See, I mean, that's what you need. You need to have that consistent repetition to get it stuck into your mind. And here you are now in your late 20s, and you still remember.
Yeah, I still remember that. Crazy.
There you go. Good stuff there. So big shout out to all of the student athletes out there. Hopefully you are doing well on those final exams and the preparation is taking place. And hopefully you are not that one person in your senior capstone that is basically doing absolutely nothing in that group project and you still get the A. Don't be that guy.
And remember, C's get degrees.
C's get degrees. Yes, they do.
There you go.
And they get you broadcasting jobs.
Yeah.
What? Who's with me? Anyone? No, but yeah, good stuff there. And hopefully the final exam week is going well for you so far. They get degrees.
You gotta be paping me.
Oh, come on. See, Hawk Harrelson. Now, he sounds like a guy that got some C's back in the day. Maybe? I don't know. Hard to say. All right, he's Matt McClure. We call him
Mr. Unlimited.
Let's get to the jump here on FSA. Josh Nolan, head wrestling, or make it assistant wrestling coach for Northern State. He'll be joining us here in the next 10 minutes. Looking forward to that discussion with him. But first and foremost, let's go ahead and toss this thing skyward on FSA. You were out, I believe it was last week, Monday.
Yep.
And I talked about something, and I wanted to get your discussion on this and your thoughts on it. We'll get to that here in just 1 second. But last night, I am kind of putting together the sports and what have you, and I put my tuchus in front of the TV and flip it on and trying to see what's going on the telly there, and I see NDSU's playing. I said, oh, NDSU, okay, yeah, we'll see what's going on with them. So last night, they played Butler. I don't know if you caught any of that game.
I did not.
See anything regarding it on Twitter or anything like that or X. And I watched the tail end of it. NDSU played about as good as you could ask for in the first half there. in the field house. They led 44-23 at break time. And some would call NDSU a mid-major team. You know, they're playing Butler and
Summit League.
Summit League, yeah. Butler, are they in the Big East now?
I think so.
I believe so. I feel like my dad over here. My dad always asks me, hey, who's in the Big East this year?
Couldn't tell you.
Couldn't tell you. Everyone's coming and going. I have no idea who's in what conference anymore. It's really, really tough to tell. I used to be able to do that, no problem. Oh, Syracuse, Pitt, Marquette, UConn, no problem.
Yeah, the Big East basketball back then was awesome.
Oh, yeah. It's fantastic. Or it was fantastic. It's still good
now. It's still pretty good.
Still very good. But the Bison, they do come away from the Fieldhouse victorious 71-68 there. As Butler had a huge second half, but their rally came up short. 71-68, NDSU comes away with the victory. Tukes, why are you talking about this? We're not exactly Bison territory. I suppose not, but a big shout out to one, Jackson Mone. Jackson Mone there last night, 25 points.
Wow.
10 of 23 from the field, 4 of 10 from beyond the curve, 7 defensive rebounds, a steal, a couple of blocks, and 3 assists. So big shout out to Jackson Mone there last night, and NDSU with an upset victory there. At Butler's place.
Oh, what that tells me is the offense kind of runs through him. You're putting up 23 shots. It's a lot.
It's a lot.
Yeah, the offense kind of running through him, and that's a good road win versus Butler. And see that stat line? Big shout out to him, man. I mean, he was a great player when he was here at Northern State. He had the game. I've said that, even just watching him last year. He's got that outside game for his size. He's a good inside scorer. And 25 points on 10 of 23, it's a big-time performance on the road, man.
It is, absolutely. And I saw him following the Jamestown game there. He was up there a couple weeks ago in Jamestown, and I said, how you fitting in? How you liking it over there? He says it's good just to kind of be back home. You know, Fargo is home for him.
Sure.
Just makes sense to go back home there. He says that he's feeling comfortable. The team is still kind of working on gelling and everything, much like the Northern guys are right now. But I would think going on the road and beating Butler, that'll help a team gel, right?
Oh, 100%. Now, you're always a big advocate, too, because you can win the game in the first half.
Mm-hmm.
You know, first quarter, you say that a lot, and I think that's really where they won the game, just building that big lead. And you knew that Butler, in a game like that, the home team, when they're playing a team that they maybe should beat, you know they're going to have a run in them. You know they got chewed out at halftime, and they made a nice run, but not enough. Nice win for the Bison.
Yeah, absolutely. So big shout out to those guys up there in Fargo, don't you know? So you were off last week Monday, and that was following basically flag planting Saturday.
Yes.
I mean, everywhere you looked, somebody was being, I guess, if I can quote the Big Lebowski here, micturated upon with the old flag planting and what have you. I saw this on social media this morning, and I thought it was kind of curious. Here's your headline. Lawmaker proposes making flag planting at Ohio State Stadium a felony. I mean, you want to talk about doing too much. That's a little bit too much. Are you pro flag planting or anti?
I'd say I'm pretty anti. You know, I'm not the biggest fan of it. It doesn't bother me. Now, they've been doing that at OU Texas for years. And, you know, you haven't seen the amount of outbursts. The whole reason you saw the outburst is because everybody was on social media posting the pictures of or videos of, you know, the Jack Sawyer, the defensive linebacker. He was really upset. You know, he was a senior. He never beat Michigan. And he was like, get that flag off the field, things of that nature. I'm pretty anti-flag planting, I will say. But I think the outburst really is because there was so much, like, social media posts about it. And I think a lot of people were pointing fun at Ohio State because there's a video of Jack Sawyer saying, hey, get that flag off the field, and then there's Ryan Day just standing there like
right.
In disbelief. Awesome, just an awesome meme of Ryan Day just standing there looking into the shadows.
10,000 yard stare.
What just happened? I've gone back and seen that a couple times, but I think that's where you're seeing the outburst. I'm pretty anti-flag planting. I mean, just shake the other team's hand and get off the field. Celebrate in the locker room, play some music, and do what you do in the locker room. Don't do it on the field.
Yeah, I mean, win with grace, lose with grace. This is not Iwo Jima, you know? This is not the Battle of Verdun,
yeah.
Okay? We're not claiming territory here.
I agree.
Good on you guys. You won the game. Just move on.
Yep.
But
celebrate in the locker room with your teammates. Just celebrate. I'm cool with all the locker room stuff because you're in a team environment. It's your team. You know, you want to blare music and chant and all that stuff, I'm cool with that.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. I couldn't agree more. So kind of interesting there at Ohio State making it a potential felony. We'll have to wait and see.
That's a joke, by the way.
That's a joke, yeah. That's got to be a joke.
Yeah, come on. Really?
A little bit. Like, you've got nothing else going on in Ohio that you are putting – that's where you're putting your focus on?
Michigan. I got to say, Michigan owns Ohio State right now.
They do.
And that's I guess they're in a panic, and they're like, hey, we got to do this.
Yeah, that hurts me to say, and I think you're exactly right, because I am a kind of a closeted Ohio State fan, but you're absolutely correct. And, you know, I saw this as well on social media, not to dabble politics and sports, but I'm going to take a shot here a little bit if I can. Go ahead. Mitch McConnell, he's going to be stepping down. John Thune is going to be stepping in as the whip, I believe, if memory serves correctly. So, you know, McConnell's going down, but literally, he actually went down yesterday. He had a fall yesterday, and, you know, obviously wish him well, but looks like he's got a huge, you know, gash across his face, and he's got a kind of a small cast on his, looks like, left hand. And I'm not poking fun at him. I mean, that happens. But the comment I saw on social media definitely made me joke and kind of crack a joke here. Did McConnell just suit back up? Embiid would be out for 3 years.
Yeah, literally, though.
I mean, I know you're a big 76ers guy. Joel Embiid is just always down.
It's a train wreck, man. And I know you're not an NBA guy,
yeah,
but they're like 7-15. They're terrible. They got him and Paul George that just miss games constantly. And that tweet, I mean, that made me chuckle there a little bit because, you know, he's got a broken finger. He's out for 6 weeks.
Didn't Ricky Pearsall get shot?
Yes, he did.
49ers wide receiver.
Yeah.
He missed less time in terms of games than Joel Embiid.
How about Brian Robinson?
Yeah,
For the Commanders,
right,
too.
Yep.
Similar situation with Pearsall.
Yeah.
Guys are back on the field.
Those guys are out there. Look at some of the hockey guys. You know what I mean? Those guys are getting their teeth kicked in.
Every night.
Lace them up. Let's go.
3 days a week. That's the biggest problem I have with – I know he wants to be out there, but, I mean, like, he just misses – he plays one game. He played versus Memphis earlier this year, and then he didn't play the next three.
Jeez.
You played the game. You had 30 points. He looks out of shape.
Yeah.
I mean, the only way you can get into shape playing basketball – is playing in game action.
Mm-hmm.
You can't practice nowadays. You're
just
talking about practice.
Yeah.
As AI says, you're just shooting around. You're doing, you got to get in game shape, man. And that bothered me. He played in Memphis, dropped like 30 points. We didn't see him until Sunday versus Chicago. Now they have a week off with the NBA Cup, so he better play on Friday.
I always love that when the TV folk actually have the insight as to what practice looks like there. For the Bulls, it was always at the Birdo Center. It's like, here's film from practice. It's just like eight guys just
standing
shooting,
around.
Just standing around, maybe getting some free throws up or something like that. I can't imagine it's too strenuous.
Yeah, just it's so annoying with his injuries. Hopefully.
You know what he deserves? He needs more $1 million.
Well, they gave him an extension in the offseason.
There you go. That's what you need. These players need more millions of dollars for less output.
Yeah,
that's a good way to live life.
They gave him a 3-year, like $197 million extension.
In what other career, in what world, other than sports, can you get more money for doing absolutely nothing?
Well, that's what Charles Barkley always says, Tukes. He says, you know, we play basketball for a living for three, maybe four days a week.
Yeah.
Get out on the court and play.
Millions. Give him more. He needs more. He needs more money, for sure.
Oh, that's annoying.
I know it. I hear you. Coming up next on the show, we're getting into the meat of our Wolves midweek. Josh Nolan, new assistant coach for Northern State Wrestling. He'll join us next. Sports Hub rocking and rolling on this Wolves midweek. Rihanna Phillippe, she'll be joining us towards the bottom of the hour, talking some Northern State women's hoops. But right now, we will go to the mats as Josh Nolan, the new assistant coach for the Northern State Wrestling Squad. He'll be joining us right here and right now on the phone line. Coach, thanks for taking some time this morning. How are you?
I'm doing great, man. Thank you for having me.
You got it. It's our pleasure, for sure. So congratulations on the new gig coming back to Aberdeen, and that's just it. You're coming back to Aberdeen, kind of a homecoming of sorts. How did this whole thing kind of come to be for you?
You know, it's just it really just kind of all fell together. You know, me and Wyatt Turnquist are pretty close. You know, we've been around each other quite a bit throughout the course of his career, you know, went back to kind of back to high school days. So we're talking and kind of we got to talking with Rocky, and it just really just kind of spawned into to something. Me and my family were kind of looking to get back closer to some family and get closer to some things that we know a little bit better. And it really just fell into place. It really was just something that you know, one of those things you kind of look up and it's all there and you're like, oh, perfect, like this is great. And you know, Northern's always been a special place to me. It's always been something that I've always kept tabs on. I stay up to date with Rocky and Zeke and all those guys. And so when they kind of put the opportunity together, I jumped on it fast.
So it looks like your most recent stint was with Compound Wrestling Club in McDonough, Georgia. What was that all about?
Yeah, so Compound Wrestling Club is a longstanding club out here in Georgia. Really great people, started by Lee Roper, who's now an assistant at University of Northern Iowa, and Cliff Fretwell. You know, they started it like 16 years ago, and they put a ton of time and a ton of effort into it, and they were looking for somebody to kind of take the reins post-COVID. And me and Cliff had been pretty tight for a while, just kind of doing the camp circuit. And it was just an opportunity that me and my family wanted to take. We're, you know, we're not afraid to pack up and check out different parts of the country. So it was just it was really fun. It was a great opportunity to work with some of these kids down here in the South and kind of see what it's all about. And I've been lucky to be around some awesome kids and some awesome coaches since I've been down here.
It's supposed to be 63 degrees on Tuesday in McDonough, Georgia, by the way.
I heard the weather right before you guys brought me on, and I my skin crawled a little bit, not gonna lie.
Yeah, I mean, you know what you're getting into though up here in South Dakota.
You've been here
before. You know it, you know how it goes, but yeah, that'd be kind of curious. If I told my wife, hey, if we were living in Georgia, and like, hey, we're going to go to South Dakota, it's like, oh, is it nice up there in the wintertime?
I told a couple people when they saw that I was coming in, I just told them I wanted to wait until the weather got really good, you know?
Yeah, that's totally fair. As we're talking with new assistant wrestling coach Josh Nolan here on Fox Sports Aberdeen, and I'm curious, are wrestlers in the South – are they a little bit different than wrestlers up here in South Dakota? And if so, what way? Is it just kind of the way they're built or maybe different mindset? Can you ascertain differences between the two?
Sure. You know, it kind of varies. You know, the overall scene is a little bit different just because, you know, wrestling is not exactly a way of life down here for the majority. You know, we got SEC football, SEC track, you know, there's, you know, even baseball is super big. You know, the weather is nice, you know, 90% of the time. So the outdoor sports get a lot of love, which is all good. But just for the athletes, though, in particular, you know, the kids that are dedicated are really very similar, you know, across the board, you know. And luckily, I was in a club that had a lot of dedicated kids and a lot of kids that, you know, wanted to see what they were capable of. And when you're working with kids like that it makes it easy. And those kids they share a lot of the similar qualities. You know, the Midwest is great because it hardens some kids up, you know, cause they are faced with the farm life and the snow and the tough conditions. So they're, you know, there is a little bit of, you know, Midwest tough, but tell you what, there's some tough kids down here in the South as well. So it's there's a lot of similarities between the kids that are pushing to be the best that they possibly can be.
That's funny you mentioned that. We were talking about that earlier this week on the show, that we were talking Aberdeen Central wrestling, and I mentioned the fact that a lot of kids in South Dakota and in the Midwest, wrestling's their number one sport. Like, that's the thing they focus on all year round. It's a little bit different you know, where I'm from in Pennsylvania, where you were at in Georgia, where it's kind of a secondary sport. What's your kind of two cents on that?
Yeah, I think that's pretty accurate. You know, there's the kids down here, like I said, there's a lot of opportunities and a lot of good weather to take advantage of. So that throws a little bit of a wrench into it when you're talking about, you know, trying to get kids out to dedicate themselves year round. But again, like if you're putting together a quality product and have a great environment to train in, you really attract a lot of the right kids and again a lot of the kids that share similar qualities. I've noticed a lot of similarities, and I've had, you know, the ability to kind of bring in some of the kids that I've coached from the Midwest down to the South. And, you know, it's always funny to see those interactions, because, you know, you would think they would be, completely different, but a lot of those kids, they get along and they, you know, it's pretty awesome to watch them start to follow each other and really, you know, be advocates for each other and cheer for each other and look to help one another, you know, even from being so far away.
Well, that's just it. You know, wrestling is a very, very individually based sport, but it's also very team oriented, if that makes sense. It's kind of interesting to kind of parse those two as we're talking with Josh Nolan, assistant wrestling coach at Northern State University. He joins us on the phone line. And, you know, I think it's interesting because every time I think about, this is just me, every time I think about Northern wrestling, I kind of harken back to, it's really not that long ago that program in and of itself was almost taken away from Northern State. And to look where it's at right now, national powerhouse, it's nothing short of phenomenal. And you got to have the right people to get that done. And Joe Gomez was one of those guys back when I first got to Aberdeen that he kind of, I don't want to say turn things around, but kind of helped Northern State continue to get on the map. Matt Milner is another name out there. You coached both of those guys. Can you kind of speak to the Northern State culture, the wrestling culture, and how it may differ from where else you've been, whether that's in California or down south there in Georgia?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, Rocky was the man for that job. And when, you know, they brought the program back and he was, you know, slotted as the head coach, I knew as soon as I talked to him, I knew that the program was going to turn around, because that's just it. The first thing that he talked about was developing the culture and getting it to be something that is not only producing, you know, great products on the mat, but, you know, helping kids become, you know, great husbands, great workers, you know, people that can go out in the community and change lives, you know, post Northern. And, you know, so what, and just sitting back and watching him do that and bring in the right people and really stick to what he knew was going to work in the long run has been, amazing, you know, and it's just built off of love and passion, for changing lives. And that's something that has always attracted me. And that piece is really why I've kind of stayed so close to the program and, you know, tried to get as many kids that I've coached to, you know, at least take a look at the program, you know, take a visit and check it out, because at the end of the day, I want to see, you know, my club kids win national titles, get college scholarships, but that all means very little if they're not going to a place that's going to set them up for the next phase of their life. And Northern State University is a place that can absolutely do it. And it's proving to do it time in and time out.
So what's the outlook for you here moving forward? What's kind of next? You know, is it kind of, hey, I get to Aberdeen and, you know, you meet with the team and you kind of get thrown into the fire? What, you know, because they're kind of in mid-season. So what's kind of your next steps here, the next couple of days or weeks?
Yep, that's just it. I'll be heading up that way right around the first of the year and, you know, getting everything kind of squared away so that when I do get there, I can, you know, jump right in with them and hit the ground running and start start working. You know, I've had a lot of good responses from the team, and you know, from Rocky and from Zeke and from Ty Altoff, and I'm looking forward to just jumping into the mix and seeing where I can help. You know, whatever I can do is you know what will be done.
Well, if you need help moving, I see 29 guys on a roster that could probably lift a thing or two. So
That's right.
That's one way to do it for sure. Well, congratulations on the new gig, and welcome to Aberdeen, or welcome back, I guess, more accurately. Safe travels up here. Merry Christmas, and we'll see you in the new year.
Awesome. Thank you so much. I really appreciate it. We'll see you guys soon.
You got it. Absolutely. Josh Nolan, new assistant wrestling coach at Northern State University. And just talking with him, the word I hear, or at least the word that I want to toss out there, is hungry. He seems like a hungry guy.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And, you know, he's had a lot of success wherever he's been. You know, you look at what he's been able to do. He coached 8 All-Americans out there in Georgia. And, you know, they're a hungry program, as you mentioned there, too, because they got a lot of talent on this team. And he's going to fit in like a glove, I feel like. You know, he's getting a positive response. He's been here. He's been in the trenches, if you will. And I think he's going to do a great job. He just has a lot of – he seems like he's got a good amount of fire to him. He's got that edge that you want, I feel like, as a wrestling coach.
That's just it. You need to have that if you're a wrestling coach. You know, some coaches have been there around the block a little bit, and they're not to be ageist here, but they're a little bit older. It's like, they really don't have the fire anymore. Mm-hmm. You need a young buck in there that's just ready to go ahead and tackle somebody.
Oh, and he's
not
got,
literally.
I think he's got that personality and that edge to him for sure. And you mentioned that he's got 29 guys to help him move. It's not like these guys are in wrestling shape.
Yes.
It's a little bit different. It's not like me helping you move. These guys are strong, and they're in a different kind of level of shape.
Yeah, the day just ends with you apologizing to everybody. You know, them, they get it no problem. Good stuff.
Hey, can you pick up that couch for me? Yeah, you know, do you need help? Nah, I'm good.
Yeah, I got this. We're in good shape over here. All right, coming up next on the show, we're talking some Northern State women's basketball. Rihanna Phillippe, she'll join us next. It's the Sports Hub on FSA, 1420 AM, 98.5 FM. Tell your friends. That's right. Share the stream, smash that like button, and next time you're, you know, passing around the collection plate at church, say, hey, did you hear that episode of the Sports Hub the other day? I don't know. Maybe you can do anything to spread the word. We'll take it all. He's Matt McClure. I'm David Tewksbury. Glad to be with you on this Wolves midweek edition of the show. And we're talking some Northern State women's basketball. Rihanna Phillippe, a.k.a. Rio, joins us on the phone line. Rio, thanks for taking some time this morning. How are you?
Yeah, thanks for having me.
You got it. It's our pleasure, for sure. So before we talk about the season in Hawaii, I'm sure at length here, Matt wanted to know a thing or two about what life is like. Because you walked last spring, right? You walked across the stage, graduated. So you have 1 year of eligibility left, or I guess this semester, and I guess into the early stages of next year. So what's it kind of like now that you've walked, and because you're working in the graduate program now, right?
Yep. So I actually walked last December.
Okay.
And then in the spring, I started fully pursuing the master's program, and I've been doing that this fall. And I do have just a little bit left in the spring. I have one class left. So, you know, kind of wrapping up the school, and it's kind of nice because I get to solely focus on basketball. So it's kind of nice. I don't have to balance 5 different classes and practice and all the things. I can really just kind of zone in on the hoops.
Yeah, I was wondering that, because it's like, you know, are you kind of like a professional basketball player, kind of just focusing on, you know, the basketball? You don't have to, I guess, juggle classes. I mean, it's probably a stress-free final exam week for you, right?
Yeah, you know, it kind of seems that way. I'm taking several classes online this semester, just 3, but, you know, that kind of alleviates some of the pressure when you can take classes online because it's on your own time. So, yeah, it kind of seems that I am just a professional basketball player at the moment because kind of my only priority. So,
yeah, using words like alleviate over here, and, you know, don't ask us to spell alleviate, so that's good. But
well, don't ask me either.
Neither here nor there. No, I won't ask you. But Rio joining us here on Fox Sports Aberdeen. We got to talk about the Hawaii trip, and PK was telling us, or telling me anyway, during our pregame show last week before the Moorhead game, is that you guys basically had a 24-hour travel day prior to getting there, and then you guys get there, and then you wake up at 5:30 in the morning to go hike, what was it, Diamond Head? What was going through the thought process of, hey, we basically traveled literally all day, let's go ahead and get some shut eye for like an hour and a half, 2-3 hours tops, and then wake up really, really early and then hike. Like, who does that?
Well, Tukes, I don't know how many times you've been to Hawaii, but a lot of us only get to go one time.
Okay, fair,
so
fair.
That's what you're thinking is, you know, this is a once-in-a-lifetime experience. Who cares about the travel we just endured? Like, we're going to hike and we're going to sightsee. We're doing all the things. So I think that was really the only thing. How many times do you get to see the sunrise in Hawaii? And so to see it at the top of Diamond Head, it was just kind of a neat thing to do as a team.
Have you traveled like that before? Is that like the farthest, I guess, you've gone, or like longest plane ride? How long is the plane ride?
So actually flying out of Canada, we flew out of, we drove up to Winnipeg and we flew out of Calgary to Hawaii. So that was 7 hours plus the 6-hour bus up to Canada. But yes, that was by far the longest travel that I have ever experienced. It was brutal, to say the least. And coming back, traveling through the night, and then having to get on the bus again for 6 hours after flying from Vancouver to Calgary and all the things. Yes, it was a lot, but it was well worth it for sure.
Yeah, I used to do that a lot when I'm from Pennsylvania. I would fly from Philly to Minneapolis. When I was living in Sisseton at the time, I'd get off the plane and then have a 4-hour drive back to Sisseton. So, like, there's nothing worse than getting off the plane and then having to drive like another 4 or 5 hours.
Exactly. Yep. Exactly.
Could just fly local there, Matt. Just fly. I mean, you're on.
I could have done that. I could have done that.
Yeah. Well, get what you get. All right, Rio joining us here on Fox Sports Aberdeen. So, what does the body feel like? I mean, I know you're an avid runner, and Matt and I kind of joke all the time, and he's really the one that kind of brought it to my attention. I'm not so sure if we've ever seen you sweat whenever you play a game of basketball. It's pretty phenomenal.
You don't look tired.
No, never look tired. I know you did the, what is it called, the grandma marathon over this last summer.
Yeah.
So, I mean,
yep.
Even after all of that, does your body feel a little bit run down after a long travel day like that or a long travel week in Hawaii?
Yes, but I think it does for everybody. I don't think my body is any more worn down than anyone else's was. If it is, it's not because of that, because I've been playing basketball for 17 years of life. So I don't think the travel definitely wears on a person, and being gone for 7 days, you just kind of, you want to be back home, but yeah, you just learn to recover, and that's what basketball does for you, too. It just becomes routine, kind of.
You played a couple teams out there in Hawaii, talking a little basketball now. Was the style of game a little bit different? Was it a little bit slower, a little faster? Can you talk a little bit about that? How was it different from what you've seen in, you know, the NSIC in some way?
Oh, absolutely. You know, we went out there and we played two polar opposite teams. We had Hilo, who was a little bit smaller and kind of like to slow the ball down and things like that. And then we turn around and we play Cal State, and all they do is run and gun. They kind of play a run and jump press, like running 24/7, just playing 100 miles an hour, and that's what they like to do. You could compare Cal State in a way to Mankato, but it's just not the type of aggression that they have. You know, Cal State plays several different teams. It's kind of more comparable to AAU basketball. It's just so unorganized. They try to frazzle you a little bit and just so upbeat, and they're strong. You could compare them to Mankato, but there is still just a fine line between the way they play and the way the NSIC plays.
Yeah, and you're right there with them into the fourth quarter, and just kind of had a scoring drought there at the end of the game. But, I mean, just a couple game possession there with, I think, 7 or 8 minutes to go. So certainly right there. We're talking with Rio here on Fox Sports Aberdeen. I know this feels like absolutely forever ago, but beating you, Mary, in the conference opener, game comes down to the wire. You hook up with Madeline Bragg for the final play, that incredible pass from the sideline to the far block. Kind of walk us through that one, as that's a great way to get the season started come conference play.
Oh, absolutely. You know, that play was something we drew up kind of 1 or 2 days before, and we're like, you know, if we need this, we'll have it in our back pocket. And I threw that pass one time in practice and was like, yep, we're ready. And so when we came ready, it was just, that's what we had practiced, so that's what we knew. And it just happened to work out. The execution was perfect. Couldn't have planned it any better, actually. So,
yeah, when I first saw the play, I thought you were going to throw it to the top of the key, and then You know, you got a great screen. I think it was from Michaela Jewett that allowed Bragg to get to the far block. I mean, it takes a lot of precision for that pass. The fact that you only did it once in practice, and then when the game's on the line, you did it picture perfectly there. So that's just something that it was just a kind of a natural pass for you, something you didn't really practice all that much outside of the one time that you did throw it.
Yeah, you make passes all the time, but it helps having a player like Maddie Bray, who you can just throw the ball up to, and you know she's going to catch it, and she's going to make something happen with it. So absolutely that helps as well.
Also love the honesty of, you know, players saying, you know, we just practiced it one time. you hear players say that all the time. Oh, we practice this all the time. Every single day we're running this play. It's just like, yeah, I'm not really buying it. It's like we ran it once in practice. It was a perfect pass, and away we go. So it certainly all worked out there. Again, we're talking with Rio, Fox Sports Aberdeen, 1420 and 98.5. So this team has expectations. There's no two ways about it. A lot of expectation this season. A lot of players, I shouldn't say a lot, but a couple players, of course, left from last year's team to this year's because of graduation. A lot of new players coming in, a good freshman class, Michaela Jewett, like Matt already mentioned. She's a part of the program. How's the team cohesion, the team bonding? Feels like this is a pretty close team this season.
Yeah, you know, off the court, we're super close. We all get along really well. And on the court, I think that's just something we're still trying to figure out. We all have our own ways of playing. And when you put five really good basketball players together, which is what we have, it's just a matter of learning how each other does things. And that's what we're still learning. And I think it's coming. It's right around the corner. But it's just, we have so much talent on the team. It's just a matter of learning how each individual plays and how we can get it to come together.
Two road matchups. And once again, I feel like you guys are road warriors. I mean, the amount of games you played on the road, the Hawaii trip, then you go to Moorhead. That one came down to the wire in overtime. Now you're focused on Bemidji and St. Cloud. In your outlook, you know, what are some of the things that you guys got to do well as a team to come away with a couple wins here this weekend?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing is limiting our fouls, keeping people off the free throw line. That's what we struggled with against Moorhead. And obviously we don't have a deep bench either, so we have to keep our players out of foul trouble as well. But Bemidji, St. Cloud, they're two tough teams. They always play extremely hard. And in my time here, we haven't come away from St. Cloud with a win. So I think that's kind of the drive mentality that we have this weekend, is just coming back 2-0.
And maybe one or two more here with Rio on Fox Sports Aberdeen. And I mean, I was never a college athlete. Matt, same thing. You know, we don't know what it's like to compete at a high level from the college perspective, especially with basketball. So what's it like for you, kind of, and Paulo Kruger's mentioned this a couple of times, is it's your final swan song. It's the last year of eligibility. What's it like for you on a game-to-game basis or day-to-day practice basis, where you know that, you know, that for lack of a better term, that death date, it's coming. You know, you're going to be done with basketball here in a couple of months. Hopefully that's, you know, somewhere around mid-March. But, you know, what's that kind of like for you when you kind of know that this is it?
You know, at the beginning of the season, it was kind of all I thought about. Like, this is my last season. This is it. Like, I know that time is coming. But as I've kind of gone into the season, just learning to enjoy those last you know, it was my last time playing at Moorhead. It's my last time playing U Mary. Like, all those little lasts, you just have to enjoy it. And it's just kind of a full circle moment that, you know, once I was 17 years old doing the same thing, now I'm 22. And it's just, yeah, it's really just a full circle moment and learning to enjoy those lasts and knowing that they're coming, but, you know, kind of taking advantage of, you know, I've been here, so.
Yeah, just really kind of embracing every moment for sure. All right, well, looking forward to the road trip here this weekend to Bemidji and St. Cloud. And like you said, never defeated St. Cloud there. So looking forward to that first as it pertains to your last time there. So looking forward to that matchup on Saturday. Appreciate you joining us here on the show, and we'll talk to you soon.
All righty. Thanks for having me.
You got it. Our pleasure for sure. Rhianna Phillippe here on Fox Sports Aberdeen, a friend of the program. And you know, I don't know what that's like, but I feel like that'd be kind of weird knowing that, hey, this is my last time. And it sounds like she's approaching it the right way, just embracing it all.
Well, she said it there. She was thinking about it probably to start the season. And then I feel like that kind of goes away when you're starting getting to the meat into the season. You know, you're playing games. You're playing a lot of these great teams. You're going on the road. And it just – something that you probably think a lot about, you know, to start, like, you know, during practice, like, oh, this is my final season and it's the only thing I can think about. But I think as the season goes along, you kind of forget that, and then it all comes back at the end of the season. But, you know, it's got to be difficult like that. But like she said, she's just trying to soak in every moment that she has here. And, you know, hopefully that, like you said, it's a great season for her, as it's been a great start, a great career to this point, and just hope that, you know, everything goes well here this season.
Let's say you got a 23-hour travel day. You waking up at 5:30 in the morning to go hike?
No.
Good on them. I mean, to her point, how many chances are you going to get to be in Hawaii? I'd be like, how many chances am I going to get to sleep in for the next 8 hours?
Yeah. That's wild.
That's wild. That's dedication. And everybody did it, too.
Yeah, but I feel like when you're in that team aspect.
Yeah, you don't want to be that one.
You don't want to be that one person. Also, like, there might be somebody on the team that's just, like, energetic and, like, gets up super early. Hey, we're doing this. And everybody's coming. And it's like, all right, I got to do it.
Yeah. Oh, man. I would be that one guy just, where's Tukes?
Like, wake me up in another hour and a half.
Yeah, call it good. All right, we're going to call up the sports hub good here after our next segment and wrap it up after this. Final segment of your Wolves Midweek on Fox Sports Aberdeen, 1420 AM, 98.5 on the FM dial, and online at hubcityradio.com. The Northern State basketball squads in Bemidji on Friday, and then St. Cloud on Saturday. Still ladies first, gentlemen second. It'll be 5:30 and 7:30 on Friday, and then 3:30 and 5:30 on Saturday there in St. Cloud. Sticking on the Northern State side of things, this just came out here about an hour and a half or so ago. A big shout-out goes to Abby Meister, being named to the AVCA Honorable Mention All-American Team. So big shout-out to her, one of the best to do it in the country and the NSIC, and the accolades continue to rack up for her.
Yeah, not surprised. You know, just from when I've talked to Brent Aldridge on the broadcast and talking to him about Northern State volleyball, he always mentions Abby's motor. Like, no ball's dead.
Yeah.
You know, like, she goes after everything. And, you know, you just look at the stats. She's one of the best in the NSIC. She, you know, was named the Libero of the Year in the conference. Not surprised to see that. Congratulations to Abby Meister.
And I believe her sister, and I don't think I'm speaking out of school here. I believe it's her sister because I saw her kind of quote tweet it there on social media. Her sister, I believe it's her sister, Maggie, named the Miss Volleyball selection of the year. She's committed to play at SDSU and Class AA Miss Volleyball of the Year, so big shout out to her as well.
Yeah, when we talked to, I forget the coach's name for Harrisburg, but I think she mentioned she had a big season there at Harrisburg. So not surprised. I mean, that's a volleyball family right there.
Yeah.
I think they both play libero, too.
Yes. Yes, I believe so. And also, what are they at, 78 games now?
78 wins straight.
78 wins straight. And a lot of those gals are coming back next year.
Yeah, not fair for anybody in AA.
Yeah, good luck with that. Also, by the way, Caitlin Schrader of Hitchcock-Tulare named Class B Miss Volleyball of the Year. Of course, she's going to play at NSU next year. So a big shout-out to her. Check out the full list on our website, hubcityradio.com. High school girls hoops from last night. We talked with the Webster area head coach yesterday, and we thought that that'd be a really, really interesting contest between them and Wabe Summit. And as the Monday Night Football sort of sounder says, what a game this turned out to be. And it turned out to be just that. 50-45 your final score, but Wabe Summit, they win it in overtime. Faith Larson to game high 21 points. Webster, they got 13 from Harley Johnson, and kind of a low scoring game there. It had to go to overtime, but two good teams, I think, and we'll see, I think, from both of those teams a little bit this season.
I think, you know, Webster, they probably maybe thought, you know, they let that one slip away considering the fact they beat them pretty good last year when they played. And, you know, I think they're still trying to, most teams, trying to work out some things offensively. You didn't see a lot of high-scoring numbers there yesterday. So I think that's one you just got to flush and move on, but you got to take some of those positives. I think playing a game early in the season in overtime, those crunch time minutes can be beneficial when you move forward in the beginning or as the season moves along.
We saw Sisseton last season dominate, and I mean dominate opponents. Mm-hmm. They went to the state tournament. I think they finished fourth, if memory serves correctly. Third. Okay, so a top five finish for them. They only put up 46 points yesterday.
Yeah, I saw that. That's surprise me, but they did lose a couple players.
But to your point, it's early.
Yeah.
Like, you can't freak out. It's the first game of the season. Oh, Team X didn't put up 75. Oh, cancel the season. It's all over. It's the first game of the year. You're going to have some missed assignments, some blown assignments.
And not a lot of scoring.
You're going to see some scores in the 40s. It's just the way it is.
And that's really, you know, how girls basketball is.
Yeah.
You know, Josh Sticklin, who I used to do games with, insisted, and he said, you know, first team to 40.
Sometimes,
and,
yeah.
In girls basketball in high school is, you're going to win most of those games.
Well, I say this all the time with Northern State. First team to 70. If they can get to 70, their odds of winning grow exponentially. Last season, when they hit 70, I think they were like 9-3 or 9-2 or something like that. There's something about that 70 plateau. Different than college, different than high school. So it is kind of interesting in that regard. Check out our website for the full rundown there. And oh, by the way, Indiana Wesleyan defeats Bellevue in the NAIA Natty in volleyball.